Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. That's me. How about you? We are blessed. We are a blessed people. And we're even more blessed today because today is the day that we celebrate Father's Day. And we have just an opportunity to bless those who have sown into our lives and to thank God for them. But as Kevin already directed us, this day has become a day for me personally to celebrate even more and more the love of my Heavenly Father in my life. And, you know, for some of us, well, I'll go to that in a minute. I got just two pages, big print, and I'm going to try to do well. For those who are used to hearing me preach or speak, you generally can be guaranteed of two things. One is a story, and the other is a definition. Well, I got two stories and one definition today. But for my first story today, because it really ties into what I want to talk about today, is most of you know that Father Ed during the week travels. He's a traveling salesman. It's good to be the bread man. But unfortunately, in Ed's job, usually he can end up in two or three or even four different cities all over the United States in 1 week. I will call him and he's in Asheville. I will call him, he's in Denver, Colorado. I will call him and I don't even know where he is, and he doesn't know where he is by the third or fourth day, because it's just an airport and a rental car. An airport and a rental car. Well, one day I'm talking to Ed on the phone and he's driving. I don't even remember what city you were in, Ed, at the time. And I hear this voice in the car with him, and it's a British lady. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a British lady in the car with Ed, talking to him while I'm talking to him. And I said, Ed, who's that talking? He goes, oh, that's my GPS. And what he does is when he goes into these cities, because since he's airport to rental car, you really don't get a good lay of the land. You just go from the airport, unless he's been there quite a few times. But he's got to depend on GPS for the directions, either a Garmin or a TomTom or whatever they provide with the rental car company. And he always programs it for the lady's voice. I'm not going to say why. We're just going to leave it there. But that's so he can know what direction he needs to go and where he needs to turn and how he needs to turn. And so all of a sudden in the background, and he keeps it up. Now, Father Ed won't want to admit this, but I'm right there too. Our hearing is not like what it used to be. What? Our hearing's not like it used to be. Now, I can excuse mine away, not because of age, because Ed is older than I, but I can excuse mine away. I can excuse mine away because of what monitors and sound guys like Paul have done to me through the years. It affects your hearing, okay? Not Paul. I said sound guys like Paul, but not Paul. Paul's very sensitive with the sound, and I really appreciate that about him. But all of a sudden, in the background, in this shrill, high woman's voice, with a British accent, I hear, recalculating, recalculating. I go, what? Recalculating? And he goes, yeah, I missed my turn. Now she's got to recalculate and tell me where I got to go next. And I said, okay. So about 5 minutes later, we're still having a conversation. About 5 minutes later, all of a sudden I hear the voice say, turn left at the next light, turn left at the next light. And Ed, as loud as he can scream, I can't turn left! That was Dad, he remembers. That was downtown Denver. Now, the reason why he couldn't turn left is because there was construction. And he could not make the left-hand turn. And he had to go around and do a whoop around. And all of a sudden, you hear the lady saying, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. Now, I don't know about you guys, But a woman's voice in my car giving me directions is something I want to turn down, not turn up. But I won't go there either. Now, did I say that out loud?
Okay.
Woo, that was a thought that needed to say. So, we're going to talk about recalculating today. Because this Tuesday in the Bad Boys Club, also known as Men's Prayer Tuesday, John and Don and I were meeting. Ed was recalculating his direction somewhere on Tuesday. And we met. We were getting ready to take a break for the summer, so we met. And we had an incredible time this Tuesday. And it was very, very good. And one of the things that came out of that, and which really stirred this whole thing in me, is we have to learn sometimes to recalculate the direction that we're heading. We have to learn how to do that, and we have to recognize when it's time to do that, when it's time to recalculate. So the first thing is we're going to talk about is what does calculate mean? It's to determine by mathematical process. Also comes from the Latin root word for calculus. To calculate is when you're using one of those abracadabras. And to reckon by exercise of practical judgment, to solve or probe the meaning of, to design or adapt for a purpose, to judge to be true or probable. So to calculate simply means to evaluate, to figure out, to think about. And to recalculate simply means do it again. When that Garmin's telling Ed it's recalculating, it's telling Ed you've done something that I didn't want you to do direction-wise, and so now I'm going to have to go through the process to recalculate to get you where you want to go. Right? Okay. So now we got that premise. We got that. Now we're going to talk about Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. It's a joyous day for a lot of people. It brings back some very positive memories. For some people, though, we have to realize that bringing back memories of your childhood and your experience with your father is not always a joyful thing. For some of us, and please notice that I use the word us, I happened to be raised in a home that had an absent father. It was not an easy situation for me. However, it instructed me and trained me in a way to know that I was never going to be an absentee father to my children. Okay? So even in the process of the pain and the emotion of that, there was still some good that came out of that. Okay? So for some of us, it is a very emotional day, because as we look around and we see other fathers and how they interact with their children, we remember what perhaps our lack was in our raising, and it can be sad. For others, a good relationship with a father who is no longer with us. You can still cherish the memory, but at the same time, there's still a loss and a feeling of grief because that person's no longer with us. However, what we have to realize is, for the majority of us, our personalities and our things that make us who we are, the things that influence who we are, can be set at a very early age in our life. And so if your experience, now we're going to talk about our Heavenly Father. If your experience with your earthly father can greatly influence how you view your Heavenly Father. Because that, at the time, is the only template you have to put over it. So if your dad on earth was loving and kind, it's very easy for you to embrace a loving and kind father. If your dad on earth was very judgmental or condemning, that also can shade or put a template over what you view or how you view your relationship with your heavenly father. Now, we don't like to admit those things. I don't want to admit that in front of you, but it's true. I've had to process numerous things in my walk with the Lord and recognize the fact, no, Scott, that isn't how God is, that's how your dad was. God is better than that. As Kevin was saying today, great is your faithfulness. He never changes. I mean, some of us have had relationships with fathers who you never knew who was going to be in the house one day to another. That it was ever shifting, ever changing. And those things can mark you. Those things can change you. Others of us have fathers who are very gracious, very full of mercy, very full of love, quick to support, quick to always think of the best. And that can influence you also and give you a great springboard into your relationship with your heavenly Father. Let me go back to my notes here because I want to stay focused. I could say a lot more. Okay. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and starting at verse 17. Luke 15, Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 17 is where I'm going to pick up, but I'm going to give you a little backdrop. This was not in our readings today. Our readings today did not acknowledge the fact that today's Father's Day, so I went off the reservation and I went to something that I thought would help reflect Father's Day. Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 14, I believe it is. No, starting with verse 11 is the story of the prodigal son. But today, we're going to take a different look at this story. And instead of calling it the parable of the prodigal son, I'm going to rename it today the parable of the loving father. The focus of this story, hence the reason why everybody always calls it the story of the prodigal son, is because the focus is on the son. But today for Father's Day, I want to focus on the father. I think that's going to be okay. And I want to start with verse 17 because you can't talk about the prodigal son story or the loving father story without understanding what was happening to the prodigal son. And verse 17 tells you just about everything you need to know. The prodigal son lived a very good life, decided he wanted his inheritance and wanted to leave and go strike out on his own. Went to his father, asked him for everything, which was asking him for his inheritance, which is basically saying, Dad, to me, you're dead. Give me what's mine so I can leave. I'm sorry, but that's basically what was going on. And I feel like I got springs in my feet. Boing, boing. And we all know the story. He went to a foreign land. He was going to make it rich. Instead of making it rich, he ended up slopping with the pigs, blah, blah, blah. It was horrible. It was terrible. And verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, when he came to his senses, he said, when he realized he was off track, when he realized he took a wrong turn somewhere, when he realized he needed to recalculate his position because this was not working out, he said to himself when he came to his senses, even my father's servants live better than the way I'm living right now. I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." He recalculated. And he just didn't make a slight adjustment in what he was doing. He made a complete reversal. It wasn't just a physical action. It was a heart action. He repented for what he did. And he made the decision in his heart of hearts, whatever it took, he was going to submit himself to the mercy of his father. Even if it meant never being his son again. But he knew that he had sinned against heaven and earth, and he knew that he would be better even as a servant in his father's house. You know, we could all say that as a side note. We would be better to be a doorman in the house of the Lord. We would be better to be servants of the Lord. And we use those terms. We're servants of the Lord. We're ministers of the Lord. But you know, the truth of it is, we're blessed beyond that because we are sons and daughters of the living God. He is our heavenly Father, not our heavenly master, not our heavenly boss, not our heavenly manager. He is our heavenly Father who loves us beyond any comprehension of what we could believe, think, or imagine, or compare to any experience we've had on this earth with our earthly father. The loving father in this story was not in the foreign land with his son. He was still back at home tending his estate, loving his older son, being the head of his house. He was not in the foreign land, nor did he have spies in the foreign land. So what impacts me the most about this story is when the son goes through all this recalculation and says, "I'm going to go back. I've sinned against heaven and my father. I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to humbly throw myself at his mercy and ask him to take me back even as a servant." The dad is not present for that conversation. He is totally, in the context of this story, he is totally unaware of what the son just went through. And yet, when he was far away, his father saw him and ran. His father saw him and ran. No pretension of, "Well, you know, you and I can have a conversation once you're ready to ask forgiveness and tell me what you did wrong," and not one bit of that. Not one bit of that. For all he knew, the son was coming back to ask for more. He had no knowledge of why the son was coming back. All he had was a heart of insurmountable love for his child, and a rejoicing for, "Let's have a feast and celebrate for this son of mine that was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Wow! What an incredible picture of a Father's love. What an incredible picture of our Heavenly Father's love. In the scriptures before this, there's a story Jesus was telling, the stories of who among you who have 100 sheep doesn't leave the 99 to go find one that was lost and then comes back and has a great feast with all your friends when you found that which was lost. Or if a widow who had 10 shekels of silver lost one, she would stay up all night with a candle and a broom trying to find it, and when she found the one that she lost, she would rejoice because she found it. That's how God is towards us. See, the father in the story of the loving father, he never quit loving his older son. They were always, in fact, the interaction goes on, if you remember the story, and there's a whole other, you could also term it the parable of the elder brother. Because the elder brother had a lot of interaction in that story as well. But the father said, look, you've been with me the whole time. You've been enjoying everything. You and I have been in relationship this whole time. Your brother who was dead is now alive. Rejoice with me. Share my joy. Share the love with me. That which was lost is now found. What an incredible picture. I don't know about you guys, but that is a completely different picture of the earthly father that I had. And can I share with you a secret? It is a completely different picture of the earthly father my sons have.